Today we have a very beautiful topic about love. And love is something that we all know. Majority of the movies are made about love, except for a few horror or murder mysteries. Majority of the world's novels, the drama, the poetry, everything revolves around love. But love, what is love? Experts describe love as being a paradox. Paradox. That means it is a mixture of two opposites that we can't explain. If you ask somebody what is love, we'll have a hard time. We'll say, love, I know what love is. But if you ask them to define it or explain it, it's not that easy. So the paradox of love is that it is something that everybody wants, but is feared by everybody. It is powerful, but makes you powerless. It is the conqueror, but can only be achieved when you accept defeat. So the paradox of love is, can only be achieved when you accept defeat. It is a winner, but you have to lose to win it. It is the source of the world. The whole world was created in love, but right now is lost. And we shall explain that a little bit. Everybody wants love. There is nobody who does not want to be loved, does not want love. But then people are afraid to fall in love, because what will happen if I fall in love? I'll lose control, I'll become dependent, I'll become weak. So we are afraid to give ourselves. Love is the most powerful force. They say love can move mountains. But if you truly fall in love, you are totally powerless, you are helpless. You are ready to do anything for that person. You are ready to go through any sacrifice, to suffer any kind of problems, just to be one with that person. So it makes you powerless. You can think of nothing else except that person whom you love. They say love conquers all. And it does. Love does conquer each and every one of us. But for me truly to love somebody, I have to accept defeat. I have to say, I submit to you. I surrender to you. Then only love can be complete. Then only love can be perfect. Then only love can be truly love. Otherwise, it becomes a business. You know, I love you because of this I can get from you, or that I can get from you. And that is not love. That is business. That is a commercial transaction. And one who wins in love can only win when he loses or she loses. Love is the source of all this whole universe, all the animals, plants, the birds, the fish, the humans. We're all created out of love, out of the love of the man and the woman. But yet, when you look in the world, you say, where is that love? Love is so hard to find. It is as if we have lost our source of love. So let us talk a little bit about love, and especially about divine love. Divine love. And they say love is meditation, because we are all here to meditate. This is a class on meditation. But unless you love something, it is very important to impossible to meditate. Like I sit for meditation, and right away my thought goes to my children, or my work, or my money, or my work, or my business, or my problems. Why? Because I love those things more. I love my children, I love my work, I love my money, I love my job, I love my business, I love my car, I love my dog. And so my thought goes to all those things except God. And the people say, it's so hard to meditate. I sit to meditate and my mind runs. Why? Because we don't love him. What you love, your mind automatically runs to that. It spontaneously runs to what you love. You don't have to, a mother does not have to say, I'm going to sit down now and for 30 minutes meditate on my child. Her newborn child, she's thinking about him 24 hours a day, even in her deep sleep. The moment the child makes a single sound, she immediately wakes up. She may be in a party where 100 people are speaking, but if a child in the other room even utters a little cry, in all that noise, she can hear it. She does not need to sit down with her eyes closed and chant Om to meditate upon the child. A businessman, you know, who is starting a new enterprise does not say, I'm going to now for 30 minutes contemplate on the source of my business. No. Day and night, that's all he's thinking. How can I increase my sales? How can I inspire my, you know, salespeople? How can I get my, you know, how can I destroy my competition? How can I become more profit? All the time. So they say that your mind loves spontaneously and mind runs spontaneously to what you love. Our problem is that we don't love him enough. And if you don't love him, then your thoughts will not go to him. There's a very beautiful story. There was this lady who was a very simple village lady who was a great devotee of God. She loved God with all her mind. And one day she was sitting on the river banks, you know, with her legs like that, and trying to chant Om. And this, you know, very great yogi, like this monk with a lot of knowledge, he passed by and he knew her and he said, who taught her how to meditate? You know, she's such a simple lady, she knows nothing, and why is she sitting to meditate? So he said, excuse me, what are you doing? She said, I'm trying to meditate. So he says, why do you need to meditate? You love God. She says, yeah, that's my problem. I love him too much. She says, when I'm lying in bed with my husband, I look out the window and he's speaking at me. You know, she loved Krishna. That's one of the forms of God. And she's like, and he's looking through the window at me. I don't even have privacy when I'm with my husband. And then I go for a bath and he's speaking at me through the door. And I try to put a towel so that, you know, that the cracks in the door may be covered, but he can still see through them. And I'm never alone. You know, I sit to eat and he's watching me eat and he's asking for food. And I go everywhere and he's chasing, you know, he's walking behind me. I don't want him in my mind. I want to learn how to meditate. Maybe I can think about Om so I don't think about him. So that great yogi fell at her feet. He said, you know, whom am I trying to teach? You know, the true love that each and every one of us needs, she has it spontaneously. So that is the kind of love that is called devotion, where you see the Lord everywhere, in everything. You don't have to make an effort. And that is the power of love. That is the glory of love. And that is the kind of love that forces the Lord to come to us. We don't have to beg the Lord, oh Lord, give me this, oh Lord, come to me. When you love him, he has no choice. He has to come and stay in your heart. He has to meet you. He has to be with you. And that is the power that these great saints and these great people had, where the Lord became their servant. That's what the Lord says, that people who love me like that, then I become their servant. And I come and ask them, what is it that you need? And then I do your bidding. And that is the glory of love. That is the power of love that can even move the Lord to come to them. And they say love provides insights. Love provides knowledge. And it is very well known that if I need to get knowledge about anything, I first have to love. Like a child, you know, when they're ready to go to college, the parents always see, does this child love arts? Does he love mathematics? Or then maybe he should go to engineering. Does he love science? Then maybe he should go to medicine. A teacher, you know, she may pass the credentials, she may have all her degrees, all her, you know, she may have all the A's and, you know, maybe the highest grades. But unless she loves teaching, unless she loves being with students, unless she loves raising them up and watching how she can change the level of their knowledge. Otherwise, the teachers, you know, there was a recent Time magazine article about teachers who, some of them are sitting in the class reading the newspaper. Why? Because they have been tenured and nobody can fire them. Nobody can. And then there are other teachers, they give examples where they go into a classroom of children who are from difficult backgrounds and how they raise their standard of learning. So that can only come when you love your profession. So true knowledge can only occur when I have love for the subject. I may have all the medical degrees, but I'll not become a good doctor unless I love medicine. So to get knowledge, I have to have love. And obviously, the highest love, what we call as devotion, is love for God. But what love teaches us, that God is not somebody that I have to reach. You know, we always say, oh, God realization. He attained God realization. He realized God, or he reached God, or he became one with God, or he, you know, he realized the truth. So we always think of God realization as something that I have to reach, somewhere I have to go. Maybe, you know, God is in the church, or God is in Bethlehem, or he's in Mecca, or he's up in the heavens, and through effort, or maybe after death. You know, a lot of people think, God, I'll meet after I die, you know. After I die, I'll meet him. Yeah, that is true. But God's nature is infinite. He is everywhere, at all times. He's there, here, there, everywhere. There is no place where God is not. There is nothing that he cannot do. He's there in every living and inanimate objects, in every animate and inanimate objects. He's there in this floor, he's there in the air, he's there in space, he's in every cell of mine. Every cell that is multiplying constantly. They say the human body changes every 7 years. And we have several billion cells, and every cell is constantly multiplying. It is because of God's presence. I'm able to speak, you are able to listen, because God is there within us as the life. And he's here and he's now, he's constantly with us. So when he is here, I don't have to go anywhere to reach him. I do not have to go to make a pilgrimage to Mecca or Bethlehem or Kailash or the Himalayas. Yeah, no, I'm not saying that these places are pilgrimage. One should go there, because those are the places associated with God, and a lot of saints have lived there, and so these places have become holy. And going to Bethlehem or Mecca is definitely wonderful. But to realize him, all I have to do is look within. He's there as the light. He's there as the consciousness. He's there as the power. He's there as... And only one has to stay in the now, stay in the present. And that's why in meditation we say stay in the now, in the present, because it is in the present. When your mind is in the present, it is in the now that your mind becomes still. And the main obstacle in meditation and the main obstacle to God realization is thoughts. Is the mind. The mind is, they say, our greatest friend, and the mind that is our greatest enemy. So the mind that is agitated, that is disturbed, you may be sleeping on the best of beds, you may have the best air conditioning, but if your mind is disturbed, you can't sleep. And another person may be sleeping on the floor in the sidewalk, and if his mind is peaceful, he enjoys greater sleep than even the sleep of kings. And there are so many people who are so wealthy and they have to take sleeping pills. Why? Because their mind is disturbed. So to quieten the mind, the best technique is to bring it into the present, and bring it into the now. And when you do that, then to remember God becomes very easy. Otherwise we say, oh, it's so hard to remember him. I think that I should remember him, but I forget him. You know, I get so busy in my work and I forget about God. And the saints say, you should remember him all day. But when I am so busy, how can I remember him? I always forget. Talking about forgetting, there was this patient who came to this doctor and says, doctor, I have a serious problem. The doctor says, what? He says, you know, I always forget everything. Sometimes I even forget where I live. Or I walk up to my car and I've forgotten my car keys at home. I go to the grocery store and I forget what I came to buy. Or when I go to the checkout counter, I find that I have forgotten my wallet. And I keep forgetting everything. So what should I do? So the doctor says, you can pay my bill in advance. So forgetfulness is a big disease. Then they say love is attunement. Attunement means tune. And the best example is the radio. Now the radio is shut. And as we know, in the air, there's all kinds of radio stations are broadcasting. KBAX and KB this and KLFS, all those, you know, LA stations and Bakersfield stations. There's jazz and rock and hard rock. And there is politics, and then there is all these talk shows and all this garbage. There is so much on the radio, good and bad, constantly happening. There are maybe a preacher speaking very beautiful words of advice. But if the radio is shut, none of those waves can affect it. So then I turn on the radio, and then I say, I don't like hard rock. Let me switch to soft music, or let me switch to... So I can tune my radio to the various channels which are being broadcast constantly, day and night. You know, the radio stations are broadcasting the channels, but my radio, when it is tuned 99.3 or 105.3 or 103.5, then I'm in tune with that radio station and I can get that beautiful music or the music that I enjoy. So similarly, the Lord's presence is there everywhere. His grace is ever flowing. It is all the time being broadcast all around me. But the problem is that my mind is not tuned with Him. My mind is so busy, either it is shut, it is sleeping, you know, it is in ignorance. Sleeping does not mean sleep, but being ignorant, that I don't even think about God, I don't even know about Him. So that is number one. Number two is, okay, I got a knowledge, I read the Bible or the Quran or the Gita or the Guru Granth Sahib. I read the scriptures. Okay, I think, yeah, there is God, but it's okay. You know, right now I'm too busy. You know, when I have time, I'll think about Him. And so we are all the time so engrossed in worldly things that our mind is not tuned to that divine grace. And then we say, you know, why do I suffer? Why is there so much sorrow in my life? Why is there so much stress in my life? And God says, I am ever with you. I am there as all the peace, all the joy, all the love, all the compassion. As you tune towards Him, you get the same divine qualities. And that is what we find in the lives of saints. They had that when you were in the presence of saints, it is like you are in the presence of the Lord Himself, because they have become one with Him. They have tuned their mind to Him. They have become powerhouses of divine love, just as a powerhouse generates electricity for the whole city of Bakersfield. So the saints generate this power of divine love, which you and I can tap into, because there are so many saints who are walking even now. People might say, you know, Jesus is gone, or Buddha is gone, or Guru Nanak is gone, or Shankaracharya is gone, but there are so many wonderful saints and wonderful people available, and all one has to do is keep your mind open, and these saints are available for our knowledge. So in the Bible, the attunement has been changed to atonement. You know, atonement, as we know, is when you atone for your sins and then you become one with Him. So our Swami Chinmayananda used to break that word, at one ment. Atonement used to break at one ment. That by giving up your sins, you become one with Him. So that is true atonement. Atonement is where you get over your negativities, you get over your sins. And once you have reduced your negativities, you have reduced your anger and greed and jealousy and hatred and all those negative qualities, then you become one with Him. So that is true atonement. Atonement only just does not come by just saying, oh Lord, forgive me, but by consciously removing my negative qualities and cultivating positive qualities. That is called atonement. And then love overcomes delusions. You know, and as I have said, the biggest delusion comes from my mind. The moment I say, I have read the scriptures, now I know so much, now I can even give talks and lectures and people come to listen to me. The moment my mind says that, I have lost it. I've lost that because the mind has now become an obstacle, has become an ego. Oh, you know, I am know so much. Or even if you say, my mind is now so quiet and so peaceful in meditation, that itself has become a thought. Your mind is now no longer quiet. So, why is the mind quiet? Because it does not have a focus. It does not have a goal. It does not know where to turn. But when it develops love for the Lord, when it develops a desire to know Him, desire to reach Him, desire to become one with Him, then it spontaneously flows. Then there is an effortless flow of love towards the object of my being. And so they say that, how can I develop this love? You know, right now I want to love Him, but I find I am unable to. So they say, contact the saints. Because the saints, in one place in the Ramayana, which is a famous textbook, they say the saints are like a walking pilgrimage. You know, for me to go to a pilgrimage, I have to go take a plane and go to Bethlehem, or go to Mecca, or go to Amritsar, or go to the Himalayas, or go to Sarnath, where Buddha was born. So, for me to go to the place where God was, or where the great saints resided, I have to go by plane, or I have to go by train. But the saints are walking pilgrimage sites. He said they are like pilgrim sites. When you see a saint, it is like when you are in the presence of a saint, you don't need to go anywhere. You don't need to go because the Lord Himself, the pilgrim site Himself has come to you. So they say learn about saints, read about the lives of saints, and see how their love for the Lord was so perfect, so complete, so powerful, that despite all the obstacles, whether they were crucified or whether they were put in the walls, you know, some of the Sikh saints were actually buried in the walls. Some of the others were killed and tortured and punished and persecuted. But regardless of what was done to the saints, to the prophets, their love for God never wavered. They had total and complete love, complete identification. Why? Because their love was so strong that none of these weak powers were all weak, whether it's the power of the sword or the power of the knife or the gun, or none of the powers could affect them because they had become one with Him, and He is the source of all the power. And so they became so powerful that even 2,000 years after Jesus has left, we still worship Him, we still remember Him. Buddha left more than 2,500 years ago. Shankaracharya lived several hundred years ago, but these people, our founder Swami Chinmayananda, left his body in 1993. But even 2,000 years from now, as long as there is a Christian church standing, people will remember Christ. As long as there is a Chinmaya mission, people will remember Swami Chinmayananda. As long as there is a single Buddhist alive in the world, Buddha will be immortal. So that is what they say, that these saints become immortal. And one has to remember saints, one has to worship them, one has to associate with them and learn from them, read about their lives. And the time is up, but I'll spend a couple of minutes talking about Mirabai, who is one of my favorite saints. She actually was born in India a few hundred years ago, and she was of a noble family. But from childhood, she was of a very religious bent. And one time she saw a marriage pilgrimage. You know, in India they have this marriage procession, not pilgrimage, but marriage procession. And in India, marriages are big affairs, last for several days, as Stafford can tell us. So anyway, so she saw the groom very beautifully dressed and the bride very beautifully dressed. She said, oh, she asked the mother, what's happening? She said, oh, they are getting married. So she said, whom will I marry? So her mother, I don't know, jokingly said, oh, you will marry Krishna. You know, Krishna is one of the forms of God. We believe that God, there is only one God, but He may take multiple forms. Like even there, We see three different forms. There is Krishna, there is the Mother Goddess. So the idea is that God is one but can take different forms for the devotee to love. And it does not matter which form of love of God you love. It does not matter that one form is superior. All forms of God are equal, whether you call him Jesus or Allah or Father in Heaven or Buddha or Guru Nanak. It doesn't matter, but all forms of God. So anyway, her mother said, you are married to Krishna. So now she got it in her mind, I am married to God. You know, like even some of the Catholic nuns say, I am married to Jesus. So she was said, I am married to God. And she had that thought in her mind and she constantly prayed to God. And at age 16, she was married to the king's son, the crown prince, the king of that area, because her parents were a fairly high nobility. And in those days, marriages were arranged. And she might have protested, but, nobody listened. They thought, that is just childish talk. She's talking about once she goes to her husband, she'll start loving him and stop loving God. But nothing happened. She went to her husband and she told her husband, look, I know you are my husband, but sorry, I cannot love you. I love God. I am married to God and I cannot be married to you. The husband was very upset, because he was all excited. He had this new, beautiful young wife and she wanted nothing to do with him. But not only that, she also wanted nothing to do with the royal palace. She said, I don't enjoy all this jewelry and fine clothes and all these comforts. And there was a temple in the other side of the town, which is a Krishna temple. And she said, I like to go there because that's where my God resides. And so every morning she would put on her simple clothes, leave all her jewelry and walk. And people would say, this is the royal princess. And how come she's walking in the streets barefoot like a commoner? And where is her security guards? And where are her clothes? And where is her jewelry? And she would go to that temple and she would sit in front of the Lord and then she would start singing. And she was used to sing and she would dance. Actually, she would dance. And she has composed some of the most beautiful songs of not only of love and devotion for the Lord, but profound knowledge. The songs are full of so much knowledge that you may think that they were written by a great scholar of literature, beautiful songs with wonderful poetry and meter. And you may wonder, from where did this 16 or 17 year old girl who didn't even go to school, had no formal training, how could she compose such beautiful poetry and all sung to beautiful meters? Even today, several hundred years after she has passed away, we find that all over India, if you go to on the radio stations, they are playing her songs, they are selling her CDs. All the great singers and musicians of India have sung her songs and poetry. And even today, she is more popular than what she was a few hundred years ago. And then obviously the king didn't like it that his daughter-in-law is running around like a commoner and dancing in front of the other people, and all used to come and join her and they started singing with her and dancing. And he felt very insulted. He told her, forbade her, you can't do that, you can't go there. And she won't listen. She said, no, I love God and I'm married to him, I'm going to go. So one day he got so frustrated, he put a chain and locked that gate of that temple. He said, you can't go, and if you don't go, then maybe at least you'll start loving my son. And it is said that day when Mirabai went there, she was so in tears because she could not see her God. And she sat there and was crying and crying and crying until late at night. And it is said that night there was thunder and lightning and tremendous thunder. And the one lightning bolt came with so much power, it destroyed that chain. That lock, that chain was destroyed into pieces. Selectively, only that lock was broken. And then she opened the gate and she walked in. And then the king realized that I'm not dealing with an ordinary person. She's a great saint. So after that, he stopped interfering and he understood that, she is far more powerful than all my gods and all my kingdom put together. And after that, he didn't bother her. And then it said that she became popular and people used to come and sit with her and listen to her songs. And at one place she says, this love for God, I think, is a terrible thing. She said, if I knew that this love is going to make me useless, then I would have started and gone on the streets and told everybody, please do not fall in love with God, because then you become worthless, you become useless, you're not good for anything on this earth. And she said, I wish I had, you know. So those are, that was the wisdom that she spoke about. And her last days are very interesting. It is said that when it was time for her to leave this body, the story they say is that she came to the door of this same temple and she told her followers, who used to always be with her, she says, please wait outside, I need to go in alone. And so she went in alone, there was nobody in the temple. And she went there and she didn't come out for half an hour, 1 hour, 2 hours. And then people were wondering, I hope she's okay. You know, by then she had become a little older in age also. And so they said, let's go in and see. And they went in, and it is said that when they went in there, they only found her clothes. There was no body there. The body had disappeared, had become one with him. So that is the glory of these wonderful saints. That is whom we should learn from. That is what we should learn. And that is the power of love, which we all need to learn, and we all need to practice. It's a very beautiful subject. I enjoyed talking about it.